Blog Talk Radio.
Of the Rifleman Show on Appleseed Radio. I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in. Appleseed Radio is a project of the Revolutionary War Veterans Association, sponsored by the Appleseed Project. Welcome, everyone. I'm glad everyone tuned in again tonight. We've got a lot more stuff to put out to you. A lot is happening. We have so much stuff coming up in the next few weeks and months. It's unbelievable. I don't know how we're going to get it all done, but we always do, and I'm sure we will with your help. First off, let me give you the upcoming shoots so that everybody can, while they're listening to the show, can also click over to appleseedinfo.org and click over onto the register for an event. After I give you these dates, you'll know exactly where to go. Appleseedinfo.org or rwva.org, and then register for an event. February 21st and 22nd, we have Peru, California. February 21st and 22nd, Midland, Texas. February 21st and 22nd, Mayaca, Florida. February 21st and 22nd, El Paso Community College. And as I always do, let me hit this one up because this is sweet. It's inside, climate control. Doesn't matter if it's raining, if it's cold, if it's hot, if it's Texas, you never know which is going to be which. All you have to do is go inside, get into your nice climate-controlled shooting position, and you'll be good to go. However, there is a drawback, and that is there's options available. So you're going to have to get registered for an event if you'd like to. And let me clear that up a little bit, too, because if you're going to go on February 21st and 22nd, there's only 9 positions left. That's right, 9 slots left. So if you care to shoot at a nice, sweet indoor location, the time to register is tonight to make sure that you've got a slot there. Yanceyville, North Carolina, February 28th and March 1st. Ramsar, North Carolina, February 28th and March 1st. Santa Barbara, California, February 28th and March 1st. Davila, Texas, February 28th and March 1st. Las Cruces, New Mexico, February 28th and March 1st. Las Cruces is a beautiful location. Actually, almost every one of these locations that I've just named are all beautiful positions. I can't say about Mayaca, Florida, or Peru, California, because I haven't been to either of those locations yet, but the rest of them are actually absolutely beautiful. And the Ramsar, North Carolina, February 28th and March 1st, and Davila, Texas, February 28th and March 1st locations, those two events will be Appleseeds that are following a boot camp. And what we have is we have the guys that go to the Rifleman's Boot Camp, which is an 8-day event, and they spend those first 6 days learning how to become instructors, learning how to shoot, learning how to teach other folks how to shoot. And then on Saturday and Sunday, they actually instruct. Under the guidance of seasoned instructors, of course, but they will be teaching at their first events. And I love going to these two because I love to see the energy and excitement of the folks that have just been through a boot camp. They've been through, by the time they hit you on Saturday, they've been through 6 long, grueling days of instruction. And the days are long at the boot camps. We don't do it quite the same as we used to, as we did whenever I was, where I went to the boot camp, which was, we'd show up on the fire line about 7:30, we'd go through court in our classes. We had about 30 minutes for lunch, and other than that, we went straight through until about 5:30. And then we took a break, and then we'd meet back again at the classroom from 7 to 9. Actually, I think it was 7 to 10 each night. So we went through some long hours every single day, and we should have been completely burned up, burned in two by the time we hit the classes on Saturday and Sunday. But part of the thing about being an instructor is that it gives you a rush of energy when you see people there that need help, people that you can mentor to, people that you can help learn to shoot, people that you can teach about their heritage. And to me, that's one of the most exciting parts. It's hard for me now as a master instructor to hand off telling the story or really any of it, because I'd like to do every bit of the shoot there, but I can't because I've got to make sure that all my guys are rotating through and they're all learning the different parts that they're supposed to be teaching, and everybody's telling their story. But I still jump in every now and then because I can't pass up any chance I can get to tell the story. And one of the things I like about boot camp now is that I get a chance to tell the story every day to the new instructors. We'll tell the story of April 19th, 1775. And then as soon as I get through, I'll ask one of the attendees. I'll say, all right, now you can get up. And you can give the story straight back to me just like I did it. Doesn't have to be perfect, but it has to be passionate. You have to believe in the story. You have to make the people that are listening to it believe. You've got to make me believe that you care about that, that you care about April 19th, 1775, and those people that that made their sacrifices on that day, that you actually care about how your country was born. So I get to tell the story every day, which is great, because I love telling the story. The story of our country is exciting. It's romantic. It's filled with everything that you can imagine. Every bit of intrigue and romance and adventure and excitement. I used to think that nothing exciting happened before World War II, because that's where my library card stopped at, was World War II. And then I happened to read a couple of books about the Revolutionary War, and I was just amazed at the intrigue and the adventure during that time period. And I still am, and I still love that part of our history. And it kills me that the majority of Americans have forgotten that history, about who they are. How are you supposed to be anybody? Who are you if you don't have a history? Who are you? If you have no history, let's take it from your name. If you're Mr. Smith and you have no history, then you're Mr. Blank. You have to have history to have a name. You have to have history to know who you are. And if you don't know your history, that's a very sad commentary on this country that they don't. The majority of Americans don't know or understand or care about their history. Now, I know the caring part isn't completely true, because whenever I give the story at an event, you can see the lights coming on their heads. You can see that people are hearing the story. It's resonating and they're changing. It's exciting to them, and they want to know more. I've told people many times before that I get people all the time telling me at the end of the events that the best part of it for them, no matter how well they shot, was the history and learning about American history, about American culture. And you know why? It's because of what I told you. It's because if you don't have an understanding of the history, number one, as they say, you're doomed to repeat it. And number two, if you have a history, if you can trace your history back, and I don't mean that you have to be somebody that can trace their roots back to Lexington Green or the North Bridge of Concord. I just mean that you need to know where you came from as an American, what it means to be an American, what your history, how your history brought you here, how you got here. Because without that, you're lost. You're just a wandering ship at sea, blown about by the storm winds, with no sails, no storm anchor, buffeted by the winds. You have nothing. So the history is very, very important, and that's what makes us different than any of the other groups, any of the other shooting instruction groups that are out there, is because we're not just a shooting group. We're not just out there to teach folks to shoot. We're there because we want to teach folks how to be Americans. Okay, so I went off on a tangent there. Well, what I meant to say is that the Davila and Rancher locations, February 20th and March 1st, will both be events occurring at the end of the Rifleman's Boot Camps. And they'll be exciting. And I tell the folks there, too, because I always have new instructors with me at events. I always have a new instructor that I'm working with, new instructors that we're trying to teach, because you got to start somewhere. You have to learn somewhere. And everyone at Appleseed started somewhere. Every instructor started somewhere learning how to become an Appleseed instructor, learning how to teach folks to shoot by using the six steps, learning how to tell the story. So you're going to see someone at every event that is just starting out, and that person that's just starting out could be you. We need you. We need folks to step up and to become involved in the program. And one of the things that I always fail to mention, I always impress upon people how the country needs them and how you need this, how you yourself need this to help your country. And I always miss the most important thing. I don't say the most important, but it's one of the most important things, and that's the satisfaction and the happiness that you get from this. The satisfaction and the happiness that you get from passing on the knowledge that you get from mentoring and spreading the word of American heritage and culture and rifle marksmanship. All right. As according to the title of the show, I wanted to tell you that right now, in America, there are currently over 40 Muslim terrorist training camps. I don't want to blanket call them terrorist training camps, but I don't know many other words for it. So there are 40 camps scattered across the United States, and United States, 40 compounds. Most of these are no different than the base camps that we used to carve out of the jungles. And other than there's a road to drive in rather than just by a helicopter. And they have armed guards at the gates, and they're training for what? I don't know. I guess you could only speculate until you get them to answer that. And why am I telling you this? To cause fear or any kind of speculation about what it is? Or why am I doing what I tell people not to do, which is to point out icebergs, point out things that might cause fear in the population? And the reason is I'm not. I'm telling you this because I want to point out that these folks in these camps appear to be very dedicated. very dedicated followers of their beliefs and of their ideas, and they appear hungry. Now, when I say hungry, I'm not talking about hungry for a sandwich, or hungry for a bag of chips, or hungry for a nice steak dinner with some asparagus and cheese. And I'm not talking about that kind of hunger. What I'm speaking about is they have a hunger for a conquest. They have a hunger for victory. They have a hunger to see their goals fulfilled. Now, they have 40 camps that are spread out across the United States. They have camps in almost every state. Some of the ones you'll see are in Virginia, Washington, Washington, D.C., New York, Georgia, you name it, and they're everywhere. And at every one of the camps, you can hear gunfire, explosions. So they're doing something, right? They're doing something. They're preparing for something. I don't know what. And what are Americans doing? And when I say that, I look first at the Americans, and I'll look at our track record with Appleseed. We're trying to push into all 50 states. And we're going faster and faster. But I believe right now, I could be wrong, but I believe right now the terrorists may have us beat. I believe we actually do have over 40 states, but it could be neck and neck with the terrorists. So what does that mean? What does that tell you? It tells you that obviously Americans don't seem to be as hungry. They don't seem to be as dedicated as the terrorists. Now, and how is that going to play out? How is this going to play out? Whenever you have one group of people, and they're just a minority, you have one group of people who are totally dedicated to their ideas, totally dedicated to achieving their goals, and you have another group that is, to use a Fred-ism, is eating bags of chips until they're fat and lazy, laying on the rocks at Crater Lake and sunning themselves in the sun, with no apparent regard for their freedom or for the lack of it or for their illusion of freedom. And what are we going to do about this? How are we going to fix this? Well, I can tell you right now that pointing out the icebergs doesn't work. You can all day long, you can point out it, you can point at icebergs and you can yell about this bill and about that bill, and it's not going to do you any good. What you're going to have to do, you're going to have to actually get up and do something. You're going to have to get out into the world and do something meaningful. What happened to Americans' hunger, their hunger for liberty, their hunger to defend their freedoms and their liberty? The hunger to be in charge of their own destiny, because we once had it. You know that we did. When you think about the events of April 19th, 1775, and you think about the alarm going out in the middle of the night across the countryside, and when people heard it, the reason that you see that plow with the Minuteman while he's standing there on the statue with the plow is because he was plowing, and in many cases, that day, that evening, and the next day, he was plowing his fields. It was planting season. He was plowing his fields, and when he heard that his nation needed him, he stopped the plow in the middle of the field, ran and grabbed his rifle and his jacket and his ball and powder, and he took off right then and there. He left the ox and the plow standing in the field. He was that hungry. It was that important to him for him to do something. And then he marched through the night. We're talking about thousands of men under arms marching through the night. And in some cases, these men marched 12 hours or more through the night as fast as they could, and not just a marching. We're talking about trotting and running, because at the end of 12 hours, you had men showing up and throwing themselves into the fight that day along Battle Road back to Boston, who had marched 25 miles. 25 miles. Now, I didn't say that they'd taken a bus or a helicopter or they drove their cars or even that they rode their bicycles at full speed. No, I said they ran. They ran 25 miles so they could throw themselves into battle. That's hunger. That's somebody who has a hunger, who has a dedication to protect and safeguard their liberty. You've heard me say it before, too, and I'll say it again, is that your rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are really no rights at all, other than it's a reciprocal agreement between you and that document that you'll have these rights if and only if you do everything within your power to safeguard them, including everything up to and including spending your life for it. That's the agreement that you took by being an American. Now, if that's not that important to you, then please go to some country that doesn't have that, so that you're not bound by that agreement, so that you're not shamed by not living up to that agreement. The early colonists had a hunger. And it wasn't just the hunger for battle. It was the hunger because they didn't want battle. They didn't want battle. To them, fighting wasn't some glorious thing. It was a very serious, deadly thing. Many of them had already been through it with the French and Indian Wars, and they knew it was no glorious thing. It was an ugly, dirty thing that had to be done. And when it had to be done, it needed to be done quickly and done correctly and then gotten over with. But they were hungry in other ways, too. Now, reading about the events leading up to this, you'll find that that both sides, that the British regulars, General Gage and his men, and Paul Revere and the mechanics and all the Bostonians, they were both eager for intelligence as to when anything was going to happen, whenever the regulars were going to march for Concord. And the Bostonians were so hungry that when you read about the British, they said that the regulars up on the week before, April 19th, were seen striding back and forth on the Long Wharf in Boston out to the very end to talk. Now, why was that? That's because there wasn't no safe place in Boston for them to speak, where they might not be heard and the information wouldn't be sent straight back to the mechanics and the Committee of Safety. Each person in Boston was hungry to do their bit. Everybody was dedicated to this. It was a sink or swim situation, as it is now. A lot of people think that with the events going on in the country right now, that you know, we have the analogy, we have the Titanic analogy. When the Titanic began to sink, when it struck an iceberg and began to sink, a lot of people ignored the fact that it struck an iceberg and it was taking on water and deck by deck was sinking beneath the waves. They chose instead to completely deny that this was taking place. And we have those same types of people today who deny that anything's going wrong in this country. For those people, it's much easier for them to deny that anything is going on, because once you accept that there's a problem in the country, that this country needs some work, needs to be fixed, then you have to take some responsibility for getting it done. I think in a lot of cases, this is much like, you know, the family with the sick grandmother who appears to be sick and possibly even dying, and rather than seeing what they can do about it or see if there's any way to help or accepting that she's going to die and trying to find some way to reconcile yourself with it, they just deny it. Because if you deny it long enough, the problem will be fixed because grandma will die. And that problem will be gone. However, though that solution is not going to work for America. When America dies, we all die. When America dies, we're all connected to that vine. We all die. We all go down with it. There has to be some way that we can come back around to that point, that we can find that hunger that we once had. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of folks out there that have it. A lot of folks out there who are not friends, who are not Americans, and who would like nothing better than to see the United States of America sink beneath the waves, that are hungry, that are preparing, that are fixing they're fixing their ideas, they're honing their skills, and if America continues to ignore the problems and keep their head buried in the sand, then we're going to end up right there with it. We have a duty. Whenever I was sworn into the military, we had to swear an oath to protect our country from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And all Americans are duty-bound by that same oath. You're duty-bound to protect your country from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Just because you're not in the military, because you're not currently on active duty somewhere, it doesn't matter. You are still bound by that oath. By virtue of living in this country and by being an American, you are still bound by that oath. So what is the answer? If the answer isn't pointing out the icebergs and trying to zigzag between them, what is the answer? The answer is to change America's way of thinking, so that instead of trying to zig and zag between the icebergs, we alter the climate so that the icebergs melt, so that there's no longer icebergs that we have to look for. If you'd like to call into the show, you're welcome to. Let me find the number here. They don't give me the call-in number for the show. You're welcome to call into the show, and any questions or comments that you have, I'll be glad to answer. We can speak about them. I think this is like the seventh or eighth show that I've done so far, and hopefully, I can only hope that I'm getting better. I doubt that I'll ever be an expert at it, but that's not my goal. My goal is to get the information out to folks. It's to somehow, hopefully, get people to understand that the time for doing nothing never was, and the time for doing something is right now. If you'd like to call in, the number is 347-308-8790. 347 is a New York number. The Blog Talk Radio servers, I guess, are held in New York. But if you'd like to call in, I'll be glad to answer any questions you have or get your comments on the air. If you have a chance, we'd welcome any comments sent in to either by message, or you can send them to me. I'll give you my email. It's rangescout, RANGESCOUT, at Hughes, HUGHES, .net. Rangescout at Hughes.net. If you have any comments on the show, if there's something that you'd like to hear about, then we'd be glad to to read those comments and see about getting it on. All right. Now, what I'd like to do is go over the April 18th and 19th weekend shoots. We have, right now, I believe it's standing right around 55 or 56 shoots coming up. And I'm going to go through them real quick. I'll just read the, I'm not going to give you the dates because these are all April 18th and 19th. But I want to give a chance for everybody who hasn't looked at the schedule yet. Let them know that there is one. Almost everywhere you look, there's going to be one within, at the most, a couple of hours driving distance from you. And this is going to be a great event. First time it's ever been done. We'll have coast-to-coast, border-to-border Appleseed events celebrating Patriots Day, April 19th, 1775. We'll be doing it. We have a lot of special things we'll be doing that weekend. And I'm going to see about trying to get some of it on the air. I'm not sure how I'll be doing that, but I'd like to get some of it on the air and then get talk to some of the ranges so that you actually hear some of the fire commands and the volleys as they're doing it, some of the excitement that occurs at the Appleseed events. All right, going A to Z here. Almonds, Pennsylvania. Amarillo, Texas. Ames, Iowa. Athens, Ohio. Bennington, Vermont. Cannon City, Colorado. Castle Rock, Washington. Cloverdale, Indiana. Corona, California. Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Dulzura, California. Davila, Texas. Elizabeth, Illinois. Evansville, Indiana. El Paso, Texas. Grandfield, Oklahoma. Glade County, Florida. Harvard, Massachusetts. Hernando County, Florida. Kimmermere, Wyoming. Kingsport, Tennessee. Lafayette, Indiana. Lodi, Wisconsin. Midland, Texas. Middlebury, Vermont. Mayaca, Florida. Osage Beach, Missouri. Ottawa, Illinois. Oxford, Kansas, Wichita, Kansas. Payson, Arizona. Pensacola, Florida. Peru, California. Puryear, Tennessee. Ramsar, North Carolina. Ridgecrest, California. Raton, New Mexico, which is at the NRA Whittington Center. Sacramento, California. San Bernardino, California. San Luis Obispo, California. Santa Barbara, California. Stinson, West Virginia. Troop, New York. Victorville, California. Vienna, Ohio. Wabash, Indiana. Winona, Minnesota. Yanceyville, North Carolina. And so far, those are the ones that we have. And listen, let me show you already that out of those ones that I just read, I already see a big red line right here run through Winona, Minnesota, saying sold out. Sold out. All right? Sold out for April 18th and 19th. Listen, this is one you don't want to miss. This is an event you don't want to do, you don't want to miss. So go ahead. Go to appleseedinfo.org, rwva.org, and click on schedule of events. Go to the location that you'd like to go to. Now, you can click on, there will be two links. One is for information about it, and it'll tell you where it is, what's, you know, the directions, the setup of the range, who to contact for further information. And then right beside that is another one that says register. It's very easy. You click on register. That will take you straight to the Eventbrite. It's a third-party software program that handles our registrations. Go to the Eventbrite and then register for it. Bang! You'll be locked in. We'll send you some information on how, what you want, you know, what you'll need to bring with you, what you can do to get ready and stuff like that. Then go to the back to the forum, or go back to the rwva.org and go to links. And on links, go to forum. Then click on forum, and then once it takes you to the forum page, it'll say log in or register. Go ahead and register there. And then once you've registered, that'll open up the forum to you so that you can see all the different topics and see what you'll need to do to prepare for an event. Now, when I say prepare for an event, I don't mean prepare for a contest. I just mean things to do that you can prepare for an event. Things like dry firing your rifle, getting down into the sitting position, getting down in the prone position, things like that. And then the things to bring with you for an event. You can find all this stuff at appleseedinfo.org. And then on the homepage there, on the website, it'll tell you everything you need. You can go through everything, all the different links there, and it'll tell you everything you need to get ready, everything you need to bring. If you still have questions, as I said, you can go to the forum, log into the forum, register at the forum, and then ask anyone at the forum. Because I'm telling you, Appleseed folks are the most helpful, the most courteous, courageous, beautiful, handsome, wonderful, loving people in the world. And almost anybody that you could click on, any name you could click on there out of the several thousand names, you can click on that name, send them a message and say, hey, can you give me a hand? And bang, they're going to come back and say, you betcha. You betcha I'll give you a hand. And that's what you can do to get started and to start doing your part. And how does this help? It's because the Appleseed program, as I said, we're not a look out, here comes the iceberg program. We're ignoring everything else. We're ignoring all the small problems, because what we're doing is we're building a machine that's so amazingly huge, so enormous, so strong, so powerful, that we're actually going to alter the weather. We're going to change American weather. So instead of having to worry about icebergs floating by that might sink or hole your ship, or icy roads, or any of these dangers, we're going to change the weather. We're going to melt everything. Anytime you have to worry about House Bill 1851 or who's going to be president, well, it doesn't matter who's going to be president. It doesn't matter what bills come up, because when the machine is big enough, the machine controls the weather. It controls all the events. House Bill 1851 never comes up. It never even appears, because we've already altered the climate of this country. We've taught people what it means to be an American, what it means not to be afraid, what it means not to be scared, what it means to have a code that you live by, that it's okay for you to have a code. It's okay for you to have a creed. It's okay for you to believe in your country. It doesn't mean that everything your country does is always going to be right, because it's not. Because that's an impossibility, okay? Doesn't mean that everything that our country does is right. It just means that the people are going to do everything within their power to fulfill their obligations, their sacred honor and duty, to make sure that they do everything they can, to make sure that the country does to be right. All right, once again, the call-in number is 347-308-8790. Okay, another thing I want to speak about real quick is we have one of the folks here at Blog Talk Radio, a very nice lady who has sent me a message saying that she would like to put together an event in Washington. Her name is Karen, and I told her that we would be glad to facilitate her. So what I'm going to do right now is quickly go over how we're going to do that. And then we're going to make it happen, because that's what we do. You know, whenever I first got involved with this program, I read Shotgun News, and I read Fred's column for the first time. You know, I told you, I think I've mentioned this story before. I skimmed through it a few times, and I thought, I won't lie. I didn't skim through it. I just read a couple of sentences, and I thought, this guy is crazy. He's a guy that's standing out on the corner with the sandwich board on and the bell, you know, ringing the bell, bang, 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 saying, the world is ending. It's coming to an end. Doom, gloom. And he was talking about patriots, becoming a patriot, and the American Revolution. And I'm ashamed to admit it, but at the time I thought, what? The American Revolution is over. It's over. It's long gone. So there I was. That's what I did. That's what I thought, and that's what I said. And that's what is wrong with America right now, because that's what a lot of Americans are saying. The American Revolution is over. We no longer care about freedom. We no longer care about liberty. We don't care about rights. We don't need those things. The government will take care of us. That's where we are. I don't think I was in that bad a shape. But obviously, I must have been in pretty bad shape if I was yelling the American Revolution is over. The American Revolution is never over. It's an ongoing idea. It's an ongoing movement in the hearts and minds of Americans that will never end. The desire, the love of freedom, the desire to safeguard those rights and those liberties that make us Americans. It will never be over. Anyway, I read the column finally, and it all made sense. It filled up that hole that I had in me. I had that a hole in me of despair. And I contacted the RWVA, the Revolutionary War Veterans Association. I contacted them and said, listen, I believe here the gist of the article then was that there were no Texans who would offer any land for an absentee event because they were too busy line dancing and dipping snuff. I think that was the way he put it. And you know, I think he was right. But I called him up and I said, listen, I've got some land and I'd like to have an event. And they said, okay, well, let's do it. And I think within 24 hours, Truck and Mike, one of the early shining stars of the program, breezed out here in his truck and took a look at the location. He was very happy with it and then explained to me about the Appleseed program. Truck and Mike was a very sharp, sharp individual. And I don't mean to say he was because he didn't, I don't believe he had any problems or anything. He still is. And that's how I got started. It took no time at all. There was no immense effort on my part or on the that I had to put out at the beginning. But then, of course, that's the way we suck you into it. So, Karen, what we're going to do is I can see now that they're going to put you in touch with some of the locations that we have in Washington. Now, you can either go and take a look at the program and see what you think about it and maybe go to an event. As you know, women shoot free. Women and children under 20 or under 21 shoot free. I don't know of any other program in the United States that does that. Women shoot free, and children under 21 with their guardians, with their legal guardians, shoot free, as do active duty military, the Guard and Reserve, shoot free. So you can go to the event, you can check out the event, and see what you think. And now, if it's something that you're going to want to become involved with, and I can tell you right now that I don't know of too many people who haven't gone to the program, been to and through an Appleseed, and if they were there at Sunday when the Appleseed ended, if they haven't snuck off home or something or been driven away maybe by weather, then It was something they wanted to get involved with. When you do that, and I believe that you said you might have had some land that might be available for it, you can just let us know. We'll have somebody come out and check the land. We'll get you fixed up with all the paperwork to host an event, and then we will bring in everything else, the turnkey operation. We will bring in the instructors, the targets, the porta-potties, the water, the food, well, everything it takes to set up an event, we will bring it in. So, so it's a very simple thing. If events that I just called out for April 19th, now we've closed off accepting any more events on April 19th, I believe. That doesn't mean don't try. That doesn't mean don't send in a request for it, because I would like you to. But if you'd like to have an event anywhere in the nation, get in touch with us. Go to appleseedinfo.org and click on the contact link and send us an email. That's really all it takes. Now, we're going to ask some stuff of you. We're going to ask you to give us a hand with setting it up as far as doing the boots on the ground stuff. But I'm telling you, if you want to have an event at your town, you get us a location to do it. You get us a range or get us a private land, and we will bring the program to you. I don't know any other program that will do that. If you want to have an Appleseed event in your location, you get in touch with us, and we will bring the program to you. Okay. The caller number is 347-308-8790. 347-308-8790. Karen says that once we see her shoot, we may want to charge her. That's funny. No, because we want women to shoot free, because women are just as important to the program as the men are. And I've talked about this before, and that is that women almost 100% the women who are participating in the program have gone on to become some of our best instructors, administrators, logicians. It just seems like any of the women who have come involved in the program have shot straight to the top and become the best in whatever field they're working in. The woman at the Rifleman's Boot Camp that I went to in Ramsey, North Carolina, her name is Kim. She's Dragonwood on the farm. She's works with the airline industry along with JB and quite a few other of our pilots and flight instructors, stuff like that. It seems like the flight instructors and pilots also make a huge proportion of Appleseed and the best instructors and best administrators. But Kim, who's Dragonwood on the forum, I'm telling you, she shot straight up to the top and just did a great job. And she's a master instructor now, as I am, and she just does a great job. She's really good at her job, really good instructor. And every one of the instructors and folks that we have are really good. We have another one, Savage Shooter, who's with the Appleseed program, who shot straight up to the top. She takes care of getting all the shoots lined up and make sure that they're good to go. And she's another great Appleseed female. Like I said, I look at the stats on the forum the other day. We have a 25-1 ratio right now, men to women. But those 1 in 25 women probably shoulder, I would say, at least the weight of 20 of the 25 men, because not all the men are working equally. So the few women that we have are almost all 100% movers and shakers. So if there's anything that we can do to get that ratio higher, we would be glad to do it, because the more movers and shakers with the program, the better. So, Karen, anything that I didn't answer or anything that I didn't let you know, just let me know. I can see that some of the folks are gonna help you out with the locations and stuff. We'll get you to an Appleseed event, because there's quite a few going on in Washington now. Matter of fact, we have one of the guys that came through the Rothman Boot Camp here in, let's see, not last November, but November a year ago. His name is Wade, and he's up in Washington. Now, he's running a designated Appleseed range up in Washington that he built right after he left here. A really good guy. He's a long-haul trucker, real good guy, and I'm sure he would be glad to help you out in any way possible, too. Then once you get figured out where you want to hold, where you want to have the event local to you, you let us know. We'll get working on it right away. All right. Wind chimes. Yes, that was wind chimes. If you heard wind chimes just then, it was wind chimes. I've got my golden retriever female is getting close to having pups, and I want to make sure that that she's not having them out there alone, and maybe the coyotes are going to start walking off with them or something. So I'm just keep walking out and checking her. Now, I've noticed, too, that some of those folks have asked questions about militia stuff like that. Appleseed is not a militia. Appleseed is a rifle marksmanship and safety instruction organization that also teaches American heritage. As I said before, we teach rifle marksmanship because that's the only sport that the founding fathers endorsed. And it has been a part of this country since it began. And it will be a part of this country forever, if I have anything to say about it. There is no militia. There's no hidden agenda. We're about as wide open and simple an organization as you can be. And I think that's one of the things that that makes us successful, is that we don't shoot out in 75 directions. We have one mission, and that's getting every single person that we can get our hands on awake, get them off the couch, and get them involved in helping to save the country. And as I said, we do that by speaking about the events of April 19th, 1775. Now, April 19th, 1775, that's a special day for our organization. And that's a special day for a lot of reasons. Now, there's a lot of stuff that has gone on April 19th in the world since it began. Now, on April 19th in 1529 in Germany, at the Diet of Spires, which is in Speyer, there was a document signed by the Lutheran leaders in 14 cities who lodged basically a protest, and they demanded freedom of conscience, right of minorities, and that began the Lutheran Reformers, which is now known as the Protestants. That was on April 19th. The Protestants began on April 19th, 1529. On April 19th, in 1587, Captain Sir Francis Drake sailed into Cadiz Harbor and sank the Spanish fleet. That was on April 19th, 1587. On April 19th, 1775, British regulars and American colonists exchanged fire in Massachusetts in the towns of Lexington, Concord, and then on the on Battle Road. On April 19th, 1783, was the cessation of hostilities. The American Revolution ended on April 19th, 1783. 8 long and bloody years after it began. 8 long and bloody years. This wasn't something that modern-day Americans, I think, are geared up for. Modern-day Americans can barely remember September 11th. And for them, that's ancient history. Now, why are we fighting in the Middle East? What was that? What started that? 8 long years that the colonists went through, 8 long years of famine and battles and bloodshed and hunger, deprivation. And it ended on April 19th, 1783. Now, less than a century later, on April 19th, 1861, the American Civil War began. Basically, the first blood of the Civil War was drawn on April 19th, 1861. That's when there were troops from Massachusetts were heading to Washington. Now, they had to pass through Baltimore, and the train didn't go through Baltimore. You had to, like, get off the train, and you were carried by basically horse trolleys to the other side of the city. You get back on a train and then continue on. While they're on the horse trolleys, the folks in Baltimore were secessionists, and they were against federal troops mobilizing, and they were against the federal troops saying that the states didn't have any rights, and they began to throw bricks and rocks and stuff, and they ended up getting fired on. And that's generally considered the first blood that was drawn in the Civil War, because there were several people shot and killed by the Massachusetts troops. April 19th, 1906, was the great San Francisco earthquake and fire. April 19th, 1933, the United States went off the gold standard. April 19th, 1939, April 19th, 1939, Connecticut approves the Bill of Rights. So it was a little while for them to get around to it, but I guess they finally came around, a little over 100 years or more. April 19th, 1943, when the Germans attacked the Warsaw Ghetto. April 19th, 1951, MacArthur was given the boot by Harry Truman. April 19th, 1989, a gun turret explodes aboard the USS Iowa, killing 47 sailors. And then two black marks illustrating some of the problems that we have now. April 19th, 1993 was the day that President Clinton's administration gave the go-ahead for federal troops and for the FBI to assault the Branch Davidian compound in Waco, Texas. 81 people were killed in the gunfire and firestorm that followed. 2 years later, April 19th, 1995, 168 people were killed in the Alfred P. Murrow Federal Building in Oklahoma City. Timothy McVeigh was taking his revenge on the government for the Waco attacks, and he attacked the Alfred P. Murrow Building. April 19th, 1996, the largest single-day total of tornadoes ever struck the state of Illinois. 36 tornadoes were documented, some as strong as F3s, and ripped through Illinois, and then Missouri, Iowa, Indiana, and Kentucky. April 20th, this is 1999, was Columbine, where 14 students and one teacher were killed, 23 wounded. So there were a lot of events that happened on April 19th. But the most important date, April 19th, was April 19th, 1775. That is when America was born. April 19th, 1775. That's where we start the story at an Appleseed event. That's where we start. That's where we hook people up, reconnect them back to their history. We've only got a couple of days, and we do have to cover ourselves by actually teaching some rifle marksmanship and safety at these events. So we can't give the whole event over to history. Although I would really like to do that sometimes, have some purely historical events. But we can't. So what do? We have to start somewhere. So let's start at the very beginning. Let's start at the day men and women decided to close ranks and make a stand for their liberty and freedom, for their rights, and start with the story there. Get the people started with their story, with their history, with plugging in there. Get them interested enough in it. And it's not hard to do, because our country's history is so rich, so exciting. And there is a nonstop line, an unbroken line, of men and women who have stood together to defend and safeguard our liberty and rights, who have given everything, and in some cases given their lives, to ensure that that safety, that liberty was safeguarded, that our rights were safeguarded. We have an unbroken line from that date, from April 19, 1775, all the way to the present time. Men and women who have felt it was important enough for them to live by a code, for them to have honor, to have values and morals, and to defend and safeguard their liberties. We have an unbroken line from that date till now. If you'd like to call in, the number is 347-308-8790. 347-308-8790. Now, I'm still working with the software, with the program software, in order to give people the reminders for the show. And the show reminders that I sent out, of course, I put on there that if you don't want to receive the message, just let me know and I'll take you off the list. And I've got one or two of those. And so I'm working to get them back off, although there's no Blog Talk Radio is great, but they do have some things that could be fixed. One of those is how to get the names back off once you've got them in there. And you have to physically go through the hundreds and or thousands of emails one by one to try and ferret out that lone email address and get it out of there. And the other thing is that there's a blog that accompanies the radio program. And a lot of times we've got a blog on the radio site, and then we have another blog at appleseedinfo.org/blog. appleseedinfo.org/blog. And occasionally there's a link to take you to that site, but occasionally I'll go ahead and just take some of the blog articles that I write, or that Fred writes, or JB, or Funfail, or whoever, and bring them over to the radio site and post them there. And it never fails that I'll click on the Submit the Blog button, and it will come back with a, we're sorry, but one of the words that you've used may cause someone to be offended. And what it doesn't say is, we're not going to tell you which word it is. We're going to let you try and figure it out. There's no posted list anywhere. So it could be anything. So you'll have to keep randomly taking out words and resubmitting it until you find the unknown word that might be offensive to someone. So that causes me grief too. But I'm working on both of those. I'm working on getting the email alerts sent out to the folks, and on getting the links fixed. If you have a blog and you would like to be linked to the appleseedinfo.org/blog, if you'll send me a message either through the show or my email, which is rangescout@hughes.net, RangeScout at HUGHES.net, then we'll see about getting your blog linked to the Appleseed blog and get some reciprocal links put up. The number is 347-308-8790 if you would like to call in. I also want to mention, and I'm not sure exactly how this works. Now, I know that with the Blog Talk Radio, there's a revenue sharing program, which means that you can opt in for that. And if you tell them, yeah, I want to be part of this, then I suppose that they will play some commercials, like during the show here, and then according to whatever amount of traffic you get, then I guess you would be paid according to whatever traffic comes to look at your show or listen to the messages or whatever it may be. So I know that they have that. Now, one of the things that we'd like to do with the Appleseed program in here at Appleseed Radio is we feel that being part of the Appleseed program should be helpful to you, and it should be helpful to the country. And one of the ways that we can be helpful to you is if you have a service or a business or a product, then if you will get that information to me, I will get it out over the air. Now, we're not charging anybody for this, so I don't know. I'll have to find out if that's going to get me any trouble with Blog Talk Radio. But we're not charging anybody. We're just letting the other Appleseed folks that have products or services get the message out. One of the people that we have that I wanted to mention is Jill in Las Cruces. They're going to have a Las Cruces event, Las Cruces, New Mexico event coming up. And I was recently out there teaching an instructor boot camp, and I met Jill and Dan and Sam D and Tyler's Clock, all these guys, Astronaut 3, great group of folks. And while I was there, I'm trying to do two things at once. I'm trying to talk to you guys, read what y'all are putting in the chat for me, and try to make sure that I'm getting the stuff right here. All right. While I was there, I found out that Jill Blue Feather in New Mexico, one of our female instructors. Not only is she a Appleseed instructor, but she's also a barrister, and I don't know, who knows what else, but she's a great instructor, and she makes handmade soap. I thought she was just joking with me when she told me that, because I was joking with her about the fact that for a while back I was involved in the Renaissance Festival, and which gave me a kind of a permanent kind of jerk or flinch whenever I smell patchouli. Anyway, she makes some great soap, absolutely wonderful soap, handmade soap. I love it. I never thought I would be any type of a handmade soap person. I've really always been an Ivory soap guy, but I love the soap. And she gave me 6 bars, so I guess I'm going to have to go back there soon and get it because it's been that was back in October, and I've just about used all 6 bars of that. If you'd like to get some soap from her, some handmade soap, she's got a full list of the products that she does there. Everything she makes there is all handmade stuff. She mixes it up right there at her house, makes the soap. Her and Dan have some device that they built that cuts the soap out of the blocks and stuff, and then she hand wraps it and hand designs all the stuff for it. And it's very inexpensive, and it's just absolutely wonderful. If you want to get some soap from her, you can reach her at bluefeather, BLUEFEATHER, bizhosting.com. Bluefeather at bizhosting.com. And as I said, all her stuff is just great. It's very inexpensive. And here's the next deal. I think when you get ready to check out, if you will put in the code Appleseed, I think she'll ship it to you free. I believe that's what she decided. And she's also working on designing an Appleseed soap, 100% Appleseed. I don't know what else is going to be in it. It won't be just Appleseed, but it's going to be a dedicated Appleseed soap for the program. So if you have a product or service that you'd like to get if you'd like to get on the program, just email me, send a message to the show, or if you're on the forum, just PM me on the forum, and we'll see if we can't get it up there. And I'll just keep doing it until they say that I can't do it anymore. But I don't see a problem with it because we're not asking anybody for any money to put this out. We're not getting any money for it, so... I've got a question here. Will Appleseed soap smell like gunpowder? You can only hope, right? You can only hope. Mixture between Appleseed, between gunpowder and hops. That would be good. I think that I would wash with hops if I could because it smells so great, but I'm afraid it would blister my skin. All right. I'm going to go over the upcoming shoots real quick again because I want to make sure everybody knows that that these shoots are coming up because I would like the folks who are listening that are part of the Appleseed program to make sure that you're doing all you can to promote the shoots. And here's why. Because we've gotten to the point where there's a lot of instructors, a lot of good folks working the program, and what happens, you know, we're still a new growing organization, and we don't have everything down pat, and who knows if we ever will, because every single day the program changes a little bit because it gets bigger or it expands, and we just got to keep rolling with the punches. One of the things that's happening right now is that everybody, I believe, thinks that everybody else is working on the promotions, and what happens is that some of the promotions for shoots and stuff end up not getting the attention that they need to get. So we'd like to make sure that everybody is doing their bit to promote an event. You don't have to, because with the internet now, you don't have to be in that state, probably even in that country, to help promote a shoot. You can help promote a shoot by internet, by getting it on community calendars, by sending emails to radio stations, television stations, fire stations, colleges, you name it, inviting them to the shoots. And every little bit helps. And we've got several thousand members. Can you imagine what would happen if every day each of those 2,000-plus members sent out a flyer or an email to somebody inviting them to a shoot. It only has to be to one email, okay? 2,000 a day, 20,000 every 10 days, 60,000 a month. That's a lot. Okay, so upcoming is Peru, California, February 21st and 22nd. Peru, California. If you're out in California, I'm telling you, Bob 210, who runs a show out in California, has put himself together a great crew out there, a really fantastic crew, including, I believe, Savage Shooters out there and Johnny Appleseed and a lot of other great guys out in California. They're doing a great job. And California is really responding to this. I believe California, the atmosphere in California is one of repression of anybody who has any type of conservative values or ethics and morals, and especially folks that like to shoot. Folks that like to practice rifle marksmanship are made to feel that they are somehow immoral because of their desire for this. And the Apathy program has really done a great job out there because people are realizing that, hey, there's nothing wrong with having the desire to perfect your rifle marksmanship skills. There's nothing wrong with having a love of your country. And I can't say enough good stuff about Bob and the rest of the California guys. You're doing a great job. If you listen to me reading off the April 19th shoots, you'll see California is taking a huge lead for that weekend, which is great. I'm sure many people have heard the phrase, as California goes, so goes the nation. Well, guess what? That's how California's going now, all right? California is embracing the Apathy program. California is embracing its love of America. Midland, Texas, February 21st and 22nd. Midland, Texas. Mayaca, Florida, February 21st and 22nd. El Paso Community College, El Paso, Texas, February 21st and 22nd. And listen, I just got a note from Mike, West Texas, who's out in El Paso. And as this program was going on, you lost another slot, so there's only 8 slots left now. So if you're going to go to the El Paso shoot and you want to be in a nice, climate-controlled, clean environment, very intimate, it's only going to have 20 folks, a lot of good instructors there that weekend, then you need to get to appleseedinfo.org, click on Schedule of Events, go to El Paso Community College, El Paso, Texas, February 21st, 22nd. Click on Register and go ahead and get registered through Eventbrite for that. Yanceyville, North Carolina, February 28th and March 1st. Ramsar, North Carolina, February 28th and March 1st. Santa Barbara, California, February 28th and March 1st. Davila, Texas, February 28th and March 1st. Las Cruces, New Mexico, February 28th and March 1st. All right. If you're anywhere around any of these events and you can do anything at all to help promote the event, please do so. Because as you all know, more hands makes the burden lighter. More hands to help carry the program. Anytime you can get more folks involved and spread the weight around, more shoulders pushing on the wheel, then it makes your actual expenditure you have to do less. And as Mike out in West Texas and I like to joke around about, is that the whole program is actually geared toward working your way back to the couch. Get enough people involved, and then you can get yourself work right out of a job, and then you can be back on the couch with a remote and a beer in one hand. If you work hard enough, get enough people involved, then you can work yourself out of a job that way. And what would be better than that? Being able to say, you know what? There are so many people safeguarding the country right now, safeguarding the liberty, safeguarding our rights, that I think I'll have a sit on the couch here and crack open a beer and watch a game. Because I'm personally responsible for about 100 folks who are each personally responsible for 100 folks who are each responsible for 100 folks. And the nation is now back on track. So that may be something to look forward to, is that keeping in mind that we're always working our way back to the couch. Okay, I started a story. Let me give you another chance. Let me give the number out again. 347-308-8790. 347-308-8790 if you'd like to call in. I started a story out last week and ran out of time. And I'm going to run through it again real quick because I think it's appropriate to what I've been talking about and what's going on in the country right now. It's an actual true story, but it's kind of like a parable at the same time. So the story is called Big Mean Dogs. And this happened, I guess, 2 years ago to me, and I thought it was so interesting. I started writing it down, and then as I was writing it down, I started realizing how appropriate it was. And so it's always been a story that I really enjoyed. And I began reading it last week. I don't remember where I got to, but I had to leave you guys right in the middle of it. So I'm going to start back at the beginning for folks that hadn't heard of it. And this is a story that when I was baling hay 2 years ago. I was turning into the field. I was going to bale hay in and, a few evenings ago. And a dog started chasing the baler and snapping at the tires. This was a big spotted dog, some kind of a pit bull, big dog mix. I believe it's probably about 100, 120 pounds. It was a big dog. You know, it was sleek hide, smooth, rippling muscles with a mouthful of teeth like a barracuda. It must have come from somewhere down the street because I'd seen it on the street before, but I wasn't really sure who owned it or where it actually lived. It followed me into the field, barking and snarling like it owned the whole road, and how dare I drive down its road. It stood there barking and snarling at the baler, glaring in the window of the tractor at me. Now, I've never really been especially afraid of dogs, but I do respect their ability to do harm if they want to. And I have been bitten quite a few times by dogs. I've been to the Army Dog Handling Seminar while I was with the Rangers, and once at Fort Bragg, an Army dog tracking team taught us the finer points of escaping from dog tracking teams, and even on defending ourselves from dog attacks. Now, this was after they had chased us to the ends of the earth with these dogs for 8 days, me and my team. And when I climbed out of the tractor, let the wheels down on the baler, the dog made a run for me. And I'd actually thought about this while I was in the tractor getting ready to come out, and I'd faced down dogs before, so it wasn't something that was a surprise or that I was struck by fear with, and you know, I did what I usually do in times like this. I looked the dog right in the eye. I didn't take a stab back or anything. I just stood right where I was, and I said, "Better back off, boy." You know, in a nice, clear, low voice, looking the dog right in the eyes. He wasn't having any of it. He was a big, mean bully dog, yeah, but he wasn't stupid. He only attacked things that ran or were too afraid to face him, and I was neither of those. So I finished up, putting the wheels down the baler. I got back in and started baling. This wasn't one of my properties. This was a place that belonged to a woman who had moved out in the country from the city, and she brought her dogs with her. Well, the big mean dog kept barking and snarling and grabbing at the tires and running in circles around the baler, and the dogs who lived on the property finally noticed, heard the commotion, and came running out to see what was going on. Now, there were seven of these dogs, seven of them, and you know they weren't small dogs. They were all semi-big dogs. I mean, none of them were in the 100, 120 pound range, but you know, they were all in the 50 to 80 pound range, and there were seven of them. None of them seemed to be as aggressive as the big mean dog that came in, but as a matter of fact, they all seemed kind of apprehensive, and they all seemed a bit fearful of the big mean dog. Now, they would come out into the field where he was where he was barking at me, and when they came out, he would make a run at them, and they would, you know, take off running back before their home. And he followed after them, and he finally ran them off from their own yard. And he strutted around, and he peed wherever he wanted to pee, and he ate their food, and they had all kind of retreated out into the open field and were huddled together, and they were looking at each other kind of pitifully, waiting for one or the other of them to tell the rest of the dogs what to do. These were city dogs, you see. Now, where they come from, dogs are supposed to be on the leash. It's the law there in town, the leash laws. No dogs off the leash. So no wonder they didn't know what to do, right? I mean, always before, someone would come and get the big mean dog, scold him, put him back on the leash, and lock him back in the yard where he was supposed to be. But no one was around right now to do that. So what were they going to do? I mean, gee, they were on their own, it seems. And since no one had a plan, the big mean dog was peeing in all their favorite places, making them look like poodles, neutered poodles. Now, I've had a lot of dogs, and of all of them, my dog Scout, who was a sleek, big female German Shepherd, and her demented little buddy, Boo Radley, who was a smaller, I have to say, mentally unhinged blue heeler, had the best plans of them all. These two grew up together and developed a technique that worked every time it was ever used, except once. This was used on many, many, many animals of all sizes and shapes. Hundreds of animals fell prey to this technique, and the animals ended up in exactly the same condition, which was DEAD, dead. Once the technique was begun, they were in the dog fighter's bubble. Nothing I could do would stop them, which pretty much it caused me a bit of grief, because I could yell at them, I could throw stuff, I could yell at the other animal telling it to run, didn't matter. Nothing stopped them once they had started their technique. Scout would face off with the animal. He would be snarling, and she would be getting right in the animal's face. And Boo Radley, was a little smaller and a lot more agile, was very quick, and she would make a feint to attack the animal's flank. When the animal turns its head to fend off Boo Radley's attack, it exposed its neck and its windpipe, and Scout knew to the microsecond when the animal was going to do this, and she was already in leap when the animal turned, and she had her teeth sunk into its neck, sunk fast and hard. Now, the animal would try to return to the front to somehow escape Scout's attack and get Scout to release it, but right about then, Boo Radley would sink her teeth into the animal's hind leg, holding that animal's back leg with 40 sharp teeth and shaking it with a wild, ripping motion, and that was it. It was over. The only exception to this being once when the dogs were still young and inexperienced. There was a huge old raccoon that was coming down the driveway. We were about 100 yards off the main highway, and there was a raccoon that was coming down the driveway toward the house. The dog saw the raccoon, and they took off after him. The coon saw the dog coming at him, and he climbed up a fence pole between the yard and the hayfield. And right at that point, the dogs had a choice. They could have either come onto the side that was on the driveway, or they could have both gone onto the side that's on the hayfield, or, which seems almost the most logical, even to me at the time, was to split up and go on either side of the fence. And I thought, hey, that's pretty smart. And so each one was on each side of the fence, on a different side of the fence. Well, guess what? The coon whipped each dog in separate one-on-one fight. He had a mouth full of sharp teeth, too, and many years of experience. Now, the dogs were young and inexperienced then, but they never forgot this lesson. And they always used a team to win every fight after this. And the city dogs could have, too. None of them were as big or as mean as the big mean dog, but there were seven of them, a whole pack. They could have easily driven the big mean dog away, covered in blood and bites and shame, after giving it a sound thrashing and plenty of scars that would take a long time to heal, so it would have a good reason never to come back. Maybe they could have maybe even have stood around him in a circle, giving him the one back leg in the air, male dog salute. But they didn't. They didn't know how. Someone had always come and got the big mean dog before and put it back on its leash. So they had to watch as he peed in all their favorite places and made them look contemptible. Now, maybe big mean dogs should never be on a leash. I mean, when big mean dogs are on a leash, all the other dogs think they're safe, right? That the big mean dogs can never come after them and bite them, take their food, pee in all their favorite places. I mean, there are laws and mechanical devices that prevent this type of thing from ever occurring, right? I mean, if there is a law against it, it can't happen, right? Jeez. So when it does happen, it's a shock, and they all have to stand around with bites taken out of their hides, all beat up and feeling like bitches. Now, I mean that as the female dogs. That's what they're called. So maybe they should always be aware that a big, mean dog is a big, mean dog, and that something like this is always possible. Always. It's the nature of the big, mean dog to get off the leash. That's their nature. So what do you do then? Have a plan. Have a plan to deal with the big mean dog if it ever gets off its leash, which it is guaranteed to do. No big mean dog has ever not gotten off its leash in all of recorded history. So you better have a plan. Two dog and three dog teams. They work. Ask Scout and Boo Radley. Or better yet, come to an Appleseed. Learn to improve your rifle marksmanship skills. Learn about how the first Americans dealt with big mean dogs at the beginning of our country's history. Then become an instructor so you can pass these skills on to others. And soon, we will have a band of brothers stretching from ocean to ocean who are willing to help guide and protect American liberties against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And hey, what about this? Get Fred's Guide to Becoming a Rifleman. It's all in there. Advice on what to do when the big mean dog gets off its leash. That's posted at appleseedinfo.org/blog. appleseedinfo.org/blog. There's a lot of good posts there. At the appleseedinfo.org on the forum, we keep it strictly business. We keep it to doing whatever we can to push the program forward. And then on the blog, sometimes we write about, other things. And if you get a chance, stop by there. If you have a blog and you'd like to be linked to us, please let me know. send me a message either through the forum or through the radio station, and I'll be glad to work with you on it. Once again, the call-in number is 347-308-8790. 347-308-8790. I'm hoping that either Sam D. or Blue Feather will call in to give the New Mexico report. Any of the state coordinators that are listening, if you would, if you're listening, please give us a call so you can call in and give the state report. Or even if you're not a state coordinator, if you want to call in and give a report for your state, that would be great. I would like to let folks know what events are going on, how the events have been going. If you just finished with the Hernando County, Florida, or the Atoll, Massachusetts shoot, and you want to call in, that would be great too. Once again, the number is 347-308-8790. Now, as I mentioned earlier in the show, if you want to have an event, if you want to have an Appleseed event at your location, the Appleseed program wants to accommodate you. We'll be glad to do anything and everything to get an event scheduled in your city, in your county, anywhere that we can. We'll be glad to work with you on getting an event scheduled. Very easy to do. All we need is a range and a location, which can be a range. It can be private land. We need a minimum of 25 meters to shoot at with a good bullet backstop, a good berm, and that's it. The rest of the stuff we bring with us. We will bring the instructors. We'll get everything worked out. We'll bring everybody with us, and we will get the event. We'll bring the event to your location. So if you'd like to have an event at your location, get in touch with us. You can go to appleseedinfo.org and click on contact and just shoot us an email and say, listen, I live in state X or city Y, and I'd love to have an event here. What can we do to get it to make it happen? And we will work with you, and we will get it going. We'll get it happening. There won't be any there will be no corners cut to bring the Appleseed program to you. So, if you'd like to have an event at your location, contact us at appleseedinfo.org. Click on contact, send us an email. If you want to send me a PM through the forum, you can send a PM to Scout. You can send a message through the radio station. Any way you want to do it, just get in contact with us, and we will have an event scheduled at your location this year. We'll do it this year, if at all possible. All right. Once more, the call-in number is 347-308-8790. Some of you guys that are flapping your gums on the chat can call in. Dinky, if you want to call in, that'll be great. It'll give me a chance to ignore your call again. I know you always appreciate that when I do that. But if you'd like to call in, then we'd be glad to have you. All right, I want to get to you the Rifleman's, one of my versions of the Rifleman's Creed again. The Rifleman never stops learning. A rifleman never stops teaching. A rifleman continues to seek ways to protect the freedom the Founding Fathers left us, to improve himself, his home, his family, his community, his state, and his country every day of his life. A rifleman adapts. A rifleman overcomes. And a rifleman persists. This is not just some fancy gilded rhetoric that we throw around like popcorn and pennies. This is the code we live by here at Appleseed. There's nothing wrong, no matter how often the mass of talking heads will tell you it's wrong or outdated or corny, stupid, or cavemanish, with having a code to live by in your life. Modern Americans have forgotten their code. They've forgotten how to be Americans. And we are here to help them remember. And we take this pretty seriously. Having a code to live by is a good thing. Living a rifleman's life is a good thing. Every day seeking to improve yourself, your family, your community, your state, your country is a good thing. Every day seeking to safeguard the liberties that the Founding Fathers left us is a good thing. I see Dave is coming to the chat too. Dave, if you want to call in, that would be great too. I suppose I'm giving the right number. Let me check and make sure. Let me check just a second and make sure that I'm giving the right calling number. Yes, 347-308-8790. 347-308-8790. That's the calling number. So if you'd like to call in and give a report for your area, for your location, that would be great. We always like to hear firsthand reports of the boots on the ground folks. All right. We've had a lot of, as I've said before, we have a lot of analogies about the program. The program is not a militia program. It's a rifle marksmanship and American heritage program. But I always think of it as like a volunteer fire brigade. Now, these days, you know, we have much in them to cause confusion, anxiety, despair, denial, and how did we get here? What caused the decay, the morass of apathy, of ethical, financial, moral downfall and doom that we face daily in America? Well, the answers you receive to the question are as varied as the answers to the question of what is your favorite color. What is the best remedy for the common cold? And you're probably given just about as much forethought. Now, at the Appleseed Program, we've asked such questions of ourselves over and over and asked our friends also, but mainly only in the beginning and mainly as a, you know, only in a peripheral way. And that's because the current manifestation of the Appleseed Program might be compared to like an early New England volunteer fireman's bucket brigade. And the Appleseed Project has its core belief that America is currently on fire. And while knowing the reasons and the causes of the fire, questions that truly do need to be answered. Right now, the most dire concern facing us at this very moment is getting Americans involved in putting out the fire. And then how to do that? How will we do it? How will we put the fire out? All right. We've got a couple of folks calling in now. All right, 575. You on the air?
I'm here. It's Sam D.
Okay, well, good. I was hoping you'd call in. I was wanting to either you or Jill to call in and give us a word on the New Mexico and how things are going there.
Well, things are going real well. We've got a shoot set up for the end of this month, 28th and 1st. With a little challenge to those people in Yanceyville, the tar butts that can't get off the sofa. We're going to outdo them. We're going to put more riflemen in the field. And we're going to put more people underneath orange hats.
Well, I'm totally pulling for you. And if I can find some way to make it out to any of these shoots coming up. I've got two locations I want to hit. One, I want to go back to Ramster because I like to make sure I make it back to the home range at least once a year. And then the other one is I want to go back out to New Mexico for the shoot. I went out there with you guys to the IBC, and it's just beautiful out there, anywhere out there. And I've always been in love with New Mexico ever since I was just a little kid. And the one location, I believe it was, where was the first location you guys had?
Raton.
Is it Raton? Now, it looked like somebody had just dropped you guys out of an airplane in the dead in the middle of the desert. But there was some mountains in the background, but it looked just beautiful. I mean, just gorgeous. And
it's great up there at Raton. That was at the Whittington Center. And that's a fantastic place to go. And it can get about 150 people on the line, so we can have a great shoot there. That's where our April 19th shoot's going to be.
Right, at the Whittington Center.
Right.
Yeah, I heard there was also some like luxury spa locations there, foot massages, stuff like that.
I don't know about foot massages, but they have some really beautiful places to stay up there at the range.
Yeah, you know, when I was a kid, I went to Yellowstone. And, you know, and I'm not that young of a guy. So when we went back then, I'm not even sure if we got reservations, but, you know, we drove into Yellowstone, and we stayed in one of those little cabins that's right there in front of Old Faithful. And there was, you know, back then was there really nobody around. I think this was like in, 65, 66. And it was wonderful. And then when I was looking at the Whittington Center location, it kind of reminded me of that. You guys got the really nice little cabins. It's out in the middle of nowhere. It's absolutely gorgeous. So I would like to make that location. Although I think I would like to make it in the fall. Because I know it gets quite toasty there.
I think April will be real nice, actually probably on the cold side, and we'd like to have another shoot there in the fall. We're almost at the point where we're having a hard time deciding where we want to shoot.
Oh, really?
We have a lot of places we know we can put on a shoot and get people there, and we want to do that, but we want to spread to the rest of the state, too. There are a lot of places out, it's a big state, and a lot of places we'd like to spread out to get the seed planted a little wider, if not necessarily a little denser.
Well, what you guys are doing now, it's the same thing that happens every time that that something starts out like that, because the Appleseed program is a great program. It's just a great program. And believe me, I'm not a cult member or anything. It's just a great program. So, once again, we have that problem of frictional compared to frictional unemployment. You have the tons of people in New Mexico who want to shoot, who want to come to the Appleseed program, who want to become members of Appleseed and get involved with the program and help safeguard their country. And we want a lot of people in New Mexico to join, but we got to make sure that the two get together, because I know that there are a lot of people in New Mexico that want to get involved in it. And you guys are just starting out, but you've got a really good group. You and Dan and Jill, and I would even consider Mike to be, half part of y'all's crew, because, he's right there on the border, and he can always come in and rush if y'all need. And I consider you guys to be half of the Texas crew, because you guys have come to the El Paso shoots and helped out, and along with Paul up in Amarillo. A really good crew of folks there in New Mexico and West Texas. And we're really looking forward to you guys bridging the gap and sealing it off between Texas and Arizona and linking us out to the West Coast.
We've got a strong bunch out here, and we're going to have a good strong bunch continuing. We did a gun show here in Alamogordo last weekend. And we got in touch with a lot of good people I think are going to be out for our next shoot. And I plan on putting orange hats on about 3 people down in El Paso here in another week. And we'll get to El Paso where they have a strong instructor staff, and we can spread out a little more. We had a gun shop owner over in Lordsburg that pretty much begging us to come over and put on a shoot. And he's going to sit down and make the arrangements for us with the local range. So we're all set there. We have another gun show we're going to do this weekend, and I think that we're going to have about five times as many people at that show simply because the town's five times as big. And we're going to make a good showing of it this year.
Well, that sounds
I want to
really
see.
Good.
I can see us having enough instructor staff to hold three shoots on any given weekend here if we keep going the way we are.
And I gave Jill a plug for her soap, so you can give her the message that she needs to start to speed up that Appleseed brand soap so she can start shipping it out to all the locations.
She's been looking at a formula for it, but I kind of interrupted her over the weekend. I've got her convinced to make me some special mustache wax because all I can find are inferior products from foreign countries.
No kidding.
Yeah. She's going to build me some special mustache wax. She says she's got something that won't melt.
Well, if you guys, if you could see Sam B, you could see he's got the Yosemite Sam look. He's bringing it back into style. He's got it going on. He's a sharp-looking man, and it could only be made better with some good Blue Feather at bizhosting.com mustache wax. And if you guys order anything from her and mention Appleseed in the code, she will ship it to you free. So if anybody else is looking for some Yosemite Sam type mustache wax, then just shoot her a message and tell her to get the fire burning. Plus, we want that Appleseed soap, too. I think it'd be good to have it ready to ship out to all the April 19th locations.
I'll tell you something that she does have right now. For those of you that are a little traditional like me and use a mug and a brush instead of a can to get your shave cream,
yeah,
she's got a shaving soap out there. It's extra slick. It's made slick. Razor just flies right over it.
No kidding.
And yep. They
yeah,
put,
that's what I use. I've got all the chips of soap and stuff that are left, I just put in my mug and I use that. Although I can't use fancy scented soaps. I'll just use
right.
I used to use my plain ivory and stuff like that. So if she's got something that's actually made for shaving my face, that'd be great.
She has some. And I've been using some of that spicy amber-colored stuff that she let us have when we were down at the IBC. But she's got a shaving soap that's made extra slick, so it's made to run smooth with a razor. She's got some secret ingredient she puts in it that she says makes it extra slick, and the soap's got a lot of moisture to it so you don't get all dried out.
Well, that sounds good. Mike just called, and I don't know if he lost his connection or what, but I was going to have him call back. If Mike, if you're listening, call back, then I can put you on with Sam and I.
Yeah, have him get on. I have to jump off pretty quick because I've been calling my Appleseed buddies so much I burned up all my minutes.
Oh. Well, you know, I got this
That's
new program.
Okay.
I got this new program I'm trying to get. I'm trying to work with, and now that you've got high speed internet, you may want to try it. If we can get enough people to do it, it's a program called Uvu, and I use it now for getting the kids to call the relatives, grandma, stuff like that, because. They can talk to grandma and grandpa. It's no charge, as long as you're talking to another person that has the Uvu software. There's no charge, and like on my computer, there is a camera on it, a camera and a microphone, embedded in it. So you can sit there and you can look at the person that you're talking to, when you're talking to them. So you may want to look at that and see. Because,
sure.
As I said, there's no charges for it. Now you can also get you can buy some minutes. You can buy 3,000 minutes, I think, for $15, and and then use it like a telephone. So that if you're working at your computer, you can call somebody up and just sit there and talk to them while you're working.
That sounds like just the ticket, because I need to call a lot more of my Appleseed buddies trying to get business drummed up.
Yeah.
Hey, does anybody know what's going on with that bunch in Santa Barbara?
No.
They're supposed to be having a shootout there, and I don't see anybody signed up there for Santa Barbara hardly at all. I think they've been out watching whales or something, or playing paintball. But I have not been able to find anybody signing up for any shoots out there, and I'm wondering what the problem is.
Well, you know, at the beginning of the show, I was talking about hunger, and Sam actually has a bit of firsthand knowledge about these guys, about the our buddies, the jihadists, and I'm sure that he can tell you that these guys actually have a strong hunger. They have a strong desire to see their goals fulfilled, to see their ideas come to fruition, and they're determined to do it. I mean, the guys that you've been involved with, Sam, would you say that they have a hunger to see that their goals met?
They do. It's more than hunger. There's a, I hesitate to call it this, but it's a religious fervor.
Sure.
We all have strong beliefs in things, and in their case, there's a religious foundation to it, however may I feel about Islam, but I'm rabid for appleseed. They're rabid for jihad.
Yeah, that's right.
And there is nothing too far out, nothing too outlandish, no tale too big, no lie too big, no program so far out that they won't try it to get ahead.
That's right, and that's what we got to figure out. That's where we got to get back to, is that same hunger, that same desire to further further safeguard our rights and our liberties, to keep pushing, to find that hunger that we used to have, the hunger that the Americans used to have, the pride and the desire to raise the country to what it used to be. I didn't lose you,
Dad. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought I was losing you for a second.
Well,
you know,
we need to find that same hunger. We need to find that same sense of urgency that they have. Because if we don't, I hate to think about what's going to happen, because Americans, I believe, have sunk into that feeling that they've always had freedom. They always will. That it's something that can't be taken away. That it's a right that can't be taken away from them. And I don't think that they understand how precarious a line they walk right now. How fragile that those rights, the condition of those rights and freedoms could be.
Oh, yes. The nation's been through this before. This is not the first time that we've had trials and tribulations like this, and it's not even the first time that we've had a lack of riflemen. I just finished reading a book by D.W. Hudson, written back in 1903, where he talks about the lack of riflemen in the country, that even 100 years ago, there were many more. And that was in 1903 they were feeling the lack, that they were slipping away from the tradition of a nation of riflemen.
100 years ago. And they were in
100 years ago.
100 years later, and we're even less. Well, listen, Sam, thanks for calling in. Thanks for giving us the New Mexico report. And God bless you and all the folks out in New Mexico, and God bless the Appleseed program. Anything that we can do to give you a hand in New Mexico, sing out. And we're going to be leaning on you heavily to help Mike and West Texas, because in El Paso, because he jumped up on the in the record books by scheduling 21 shoots in his city this year. In one city, 21 shoots, more than we had in the first year. In one,
we're going to do it.
So we're going to be depending on you guys to help. Well, listen, everybody, thanks for tuning in, and To get more information, please go to appleseedinfo.org or rwva.org. And remember, we have a blog at appleseedinfo.org/blog. We invite you all to come in and become part of the program, become part of the solution. Thanks again to everybody for tuning in, and we'll see you next Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you. Night.
Good night.